Welcome to episode 53 of the Warp World Podcast, where Jakku has an idea for a controller worse than the Power Glove. Check it out.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 53 of the Warp World Podcast. Cinco Trace? Cinco Trace.
Did you forget already? Episode 2, Season 2
of the Warp World Podcast, or episode 53 if you're counting. No, that's not how it works. It's still, even if it's episode 2, Season 2, like it's still episode, you know, like 12 or whatever.
Well, it depends on who you ask. I've seen series go like Season 2, Episode 1, you know? I've seen a lot of shows do that.
Well, we'll just do both. We'll keep a running track from now on. Either way, it's the Warp World Podcast. I'm Graham Pooh Bear.
Year 4, Season 6, Episode 7, or Episode 786.
It'll be super easy. We'll have no problem keeping track of that all the time. Anyway, I'm not even introducing you two this week now because of that.
How will they know who I am? The great and powerful X-Water.
Hi, my name is Jakku, and I like to eat farts.
Whoa! I didn't know that about you, Jakku. Okay, well, tell me how you do that. That sounds complicated.
Okay,
seems almost impossible.
I'm a hacker. I hacked the farts. That's how.
All right, that seems plausible.
Yeah.
All right, this is getting out of hand.
You know what else is getting out of hand?
Tell me,
Nintendo.
I was like, how are you getting to this?
I bought Mario Kart 8 Ultimate Deluxe, what have you. And now you come out with DLC, but it's free?
Again?
That's out of hand.
I know. What? They did. Yeah, no. So they're coming out with a little bit of free DLC for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which I think is significant because like it's not coming out on the Wii U one. So like it's like if you needed like the really full confirmation that the Wii U is dead, like here it is.
Hey, when we didn't get Funky Kong in Tropical Freeze on the Wii U, that's when I knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else you'd be holding out on. But two is that the DLC is kind of what it seems like is just kind of bringing Link up to date, if that makes sense. In that it's Link's Breath of the Wild outfit. Combined with his brand new hot, sexy Epona shaped.
The Master
motorcycle?
Cycle Zero.
The Master, is that what it's called? Yeah. The Master Cycle Zero? Yeah. Is that its official name?
100%, yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah, the Master Cycle Zero. It's the sweet robot horse motorbike.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the best name for it. That's a really lame name. I'm just saying.
Opposite side of the fence here. I love it. Ooh, Master Cycle Zero? It sounds sweet.
This week's hot take. Getting into it right now.
Anyway, but yeah, so I think really what we're looking at is this kind of a sign, do you all think, that this Link is here to stay, more or less?
It's yes and no. I mean, like, it definitely is them putting this Link more into the focus for a number of reasons. Like, if you think about it, everywhere that you see Breath of the Wild Link, it's going to make you want to play Breath of the Wild. And if you haven't already bought it, it's another reason to make you want to buy it, right? So with him coming into Smash and now being in Mario Kart as well, that's a lot of exposure for Link. Not that he needs it, but...
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say because this is still technically the same Mario Kart that was on the Wii U. So it's still the first one, I want to say, that has an extra character outside of Mario's typical party.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Not to say Mario Party, but you know, like, yeah, I don't know. It's definitely possible, but I think we're going to have to wait a few years till we actually get an answer. But it'd be nice. Yeah. I think we've said it before on the podcast, and I think a lot of people have this idea, like, just call it Mario Kart Party or something. Who cares? Like, or Nintendo Kart. Like, Nintendo Kart works. Mm-hmm. Smash Kart, nah, that's weird. But that'd be fun.
Yeah, Smash
Bumper Cars.
That's what you need. Well, that's essentially battle mode at that point.
Yeah.
Well, no, I definitely agree with that. I feel like Mario Kart is grown beyond just Mario characters at this point. Mm-hmm. I think there's no shame. Mario Tennis, too. Like, I really don't think those need to be I think Nintendo's other IPs are kind of strong enough at this point where they don't have to have Mario carrying the game. You can still have Mario on the cover of the game, like Smash Brothers, but I feel like that itself has proven that you could have these kind of, I don't want to say crossover game, biggest crossovers ever, ever, but I feel like having, you know, what do I want to say? Samus in Mario Tennis would be a lot more fun than like Dry Bones. No offense, Dry Bones, but you know, I don't know. Like having Link playing Link on a tennis game would be fucking fun.
Oh, what about Link hitting the links in some Nintendo Golf?
Oh my God! I don't. It was right there. Like the pun was right there, and I didn't get it. Like,
oh yeah, because golf. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, it was, yeah, but like, no, totally. I completely agree with that. But I mean, going back to our original thing, I really, really hope this means that we're seeing this Link for a little while, because I think that means we're going to see another Zelda game in a relatively decent manner, you know, mm-hmm. like in somewhat quick.
I hear it's going to come out on a 3DS though.
That's not funny. No. That's
not funny. you sound legitimately hurt there, Pooh.
I remember the rumor we saw that ended up not being true about like new Punch Out and the new
Link to the Past on the 3DS.
Link to the Past. Yeah, the Link to the Past remake on the 3DS, and I just got like so bummed at that.
Yeah,
like that made me legitimately not angry, but just like sad, right. You know, and I'm ready to move past the 3DS. I'm ready to move past the Wii U. Like, why would I bring my 3DS anywhere at this point? Mm-hmm. You know,
at this point,
I have a Switch.
Yeah, at this point, like, yes, the 3DS is still selling very well, and it still has games coming out of it. But any big hitters, like a new Zelda game or a remake of Link to the Past, should definitely be on the Switch. Like, it's mm-hmm. it deserves a much better like upgrade than. What the 3DS came out in like 2000, I don't know. I'm gonna say 12.
2000 like 14, 11 maybe.
11. I don't know, man. Like it came out many years ago. Normally I'm good with dates, but the 3DS is just like I don't know because it's been with us for so long. I have no idea when it came out. And
I think I had a 3DS before I met my wife.
Oh man,
I'm not even joking about that. I think that's a legitimate true thing. So and now we're having a baby, so it's been a long fucking time.
Yeah, I think it came out 2012. If I had to put a date on it. But yeah, that's insane.
If only there was this magic series of computers with information that could tell us this.
Yeah, kind of an integrated net.
Wait, I got it.
Yeah.
Hey, Siri. It didn't work. All right. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I would love for the Mario Kart series to go a different direction and just become Nintendo Kart. I don't think it's going to do anything to the Mario franchise. I don't think anyone's going to be upset. Obviously, some people would be like, oh, it's just going to be Smash then. But with driving carts. And, like, is that really a bad thing?
Yeah, it's like, not like so. The character you play as in Mario Kart really has any meaning beyond their weight class.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's not going to have to be a big whole balance issue where you're like, oh, well, Bowser was too heavy compared to King DDD, so we have adjusted that. Like, just make him the same weight. Nobody cares. Give me King DDD.
Yeah. I think Nintendo Kart, like, the change in name would be like a bad move though. I think keeping it called Mario Kart and like having those crossovers makes sense because Mario Kart has a better ring to it, stronger name, and it has decades of like build up around it, right? Nintendo Kart just doesn't have the same kind of, doesn't have the same kick to me. Like
okay. Mario Kart, Nintendo Bash.
My argument to that is that like at how long can we, what do I want to say? We're like just doing Mario Kart 11?
Right.
Like, who cares?
That's my thing. Yeah, is like,
I don't know. Like, at some point, you know, you get diminishing returns to this, right?
Yeah, like, Super Mario Kart comes out. Okay, fine. That's easy. Mario Kart 64? Great. What's the next one? We're not going to talk about the Game Boy one, but we're going to talk about Mario Kart Double Dash. Great. And then what? Mario Kart Wii? Mario Kart Wii U? No, it's 8.
Mario Kart 8, yeah. And you got like three or four whatever portable installments in the middle there.
Mario Kart 7. Like, I don't want Mario Kart 9. I don't want Mario Kart 10. I don't want Mario Kart 11. And you're not going to come up with an original name each time. So just forget it. Doesn't matter. Just call it Nintendo Kart.
Coming up with an original name is not that hard. Like, the whole reason 8 worked so well was because of, like, the figure 8 and the whole concept behind 8 was, like,
that was
the
cool.
Weird turning, like, tracks and everything.
But I got a solution for you. Nintendo Kart 2019. Done. Now we get a new one every year.
Done. Oh, see, now I would love that. Like, I'd have no problem with that.
That would be...
That'd be great. I wouldn't even be
yearly
mad.
Installments. Like, how much advancement is there going to be between games if you're getting yearly installments?
No, I don't think Nintendo will ever do yearly installment games like that. But I think Nintendo does need to support their games a little bit more and keep people coming back.
Right.
You know, like because I think that's enjoyable and fun. I really enjoy playing new content with games I like.
Yeah.
You know? So I wouldn't be mad if they were up on that a bit more.
And here's how I see them doing it: like Mario Kart 2018. Or Nintendo Kart 2018, whatever. Here's a bunch of characters. Cool. Next year, same game, just DLC, but it upgrades it to 2019. Doesn't matter. After like 3-4 years.
Yeah, like Fortnite Season 5. Yeah.
Then after a few years, you know, 3, 4, maybe 5, who knows. Then you come out with the newest one that's like completely different from all of them. Because it doesn't...
I see what you're saying. The DLC installments, change the title, give it a fresh feel. Like, have a new physical copy hit shelves with new box art and everything to make it look fresher. But if you own it already, you can upgrade through DLC. And
yeah, maybe it's $5, yeah. $10 even. Who cares? Take some a little bit of extra money. Throw me a few extra characters. It will be a good time. It's a racing game.
I'm 100% on the same page with getting more regular DLC for Nintendo games. Like, it's something they've been trying to brush up on and do better on in the last couple of years. Like, you can see it with ARMS and Splatoon, and even like Mario Kart 8 had arguably, like, on the Wii U at least, the best DLC pack of any game any game ever, kind of.
I'll give you guys one other free one. Mario Kart 1993. That's what you call it, or Nintendo Kart, doesn't matter. 1993. It's the original game, but with all the new characters and items in the 16-bit glory. You have an old retro
throwback.
That would
be interesting. That'd be really interesting.
And that's just a, you know, a quick little $5 game. There you go, Nintendo.
Yeah. If they did more like stuff like that was just like alternate versions of their really old games, like do some new stuff with it, that would be really cool to see.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. Maybe we'll see something like that with the whole virtual console that's not a virtual console. I don't know what we call it. It's supposed to have online, but who knows? But you know what does have online?
What?
Fortnite.
It does.
And, you know, the internet has issues sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means Fortnite has issues sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And that comes into play when Fortnite is having tournaments.
Yeah.
As they just did. They had their week 1 Summer Skirmish Invitational tournament. They had it live. There were people there. And things went haywire a bit, I would say.
Yeah.
What exactly went wrong?
So a lot of things kind of went wrong. Latency issues was the number one thing. And some confusing camera work by the spectators, I suppose. Basically.
Not spectators.
The cameramen, I guess, as you will. Mm-hmm. But it just caused players to not even, like, fight. It just kind of caused them to hunker down and, like, seek out the end of the storm and then, like, go in for the kill instead of actively playing the game the entire time due to the latency issues. There was no other way around it.
Yeah, there were just bad... I don't know, it just... Things seemed to just go wrong all over the place. They definitely... claim they learned their lesson. I mean, truth be told, I'm playing in Summer Skirmish week 2, which is online only. So that will be interesting.
If you're listening to this podcast, it had already happened and he won. It was amazing.
Yeah. I hope so.
Do you know who else is in your, like, in your bracket or match grouping or whatever?
Yeah, so I'm playing against like Courage, Optic. So I'm on ALG, he's on Optic. I'm playing against Tfue. Lyric is in this. There's Cypher, Nick EH30, C's, CDN3 the third, or CDN the third, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Real quick,
you got some
side
strong competition there.
Sequisha, yeah. You know, some big names that are pretty good at this game. And Grand Pooh Bear, who got invited because he happened to beat Mario 3 with a power glove.
Yeah. That's I mean, hey, you know what? I heard that you're playing Fortnite with the Power Glove. So if you don't do too well, you guys, it's the Power Glove.
It's really hard to aim down sights with that thing.
I can't believe it had a code for the game.
Be the thing. What, the Power Glove?
Yeah, I can't believe it had a code for Fortnite.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what happened. It's the program in there was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, Rad Racer, and Fortnite. somehow predicted that. I tell you right now, man, the Power Glove is the worst piece of anything that's been released for any system ever. It's fucking horrible.
You say that now.
It's so bad, dude. No, it's so bad. It's so bad.
I'm going to make you a worse controller that's just hot light bulbs that you have to touch.
That is the most devious thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I could do it.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm certain you could. Oh my God.
All right. I'm going to check Amazon after this and see what I need to do to make this.
I really hope your search history is just hot light bulb.
It's going to use up so much electricity. It's not going to be able to run half of his stuff in his house. It's going to use a lot of amps.
That is, I think, the worst, like the only worst thing that I can think of than the Power Glove, though.
Yeah. Because you're like, okay, I got to jump here and I got to hold run. So I got to hold on to this hot light bulb the entire time. Oh, God. But yeah, so Fortnite, awesome tournaments, I think. Like, even with the troubles.
Well, I mean, I think it's proven that it is fun to watch in an esport environment. So I don't think, like, that's not what we're debating here, you know? I think that more of the debate is, like, how does this even happen? But that's just the thing. Like, shit happens.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the internet's crazy. Like, the internet at the stadium could have been working just fine. A minute ago, you know, before the internet anywhere could be working great. And then all of a sudden, it's just fucking not.
Yeah, it's the internet. There's millions of people on it and doing millions of things. And the way it works is like one wrong thing can really shut this thing down. And it's crazy to think that we rely so much on this and it can just kind of disappear for a little bit.
And you know what? Props to Epic. They like just came out and were like, yeah, we fucked up. We'll be better.
There's no,
you know? Yeah. And I thought that was so cool. Like, I love it. They did it again with their playground mode. I don't know if you saw that. They basically just walked everyone through like how playground mode didn't work for 2 days, why it didn't work. And I thought that was super cool. Like, they're really open and cool. And I think that's like huge, especially in a game this big, you know?
Yeah.
It's important.
There's really no other way around it. Either you say nothing or you tell us what happened. Because if you go to the subreddit for Fortnite, everyone there is already speculating. They're all like, oh, I'm a server admin. I know how this works. This is what they should have done. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, okay, all right, guy, wipe the Cheeto dust off. I can say that because I'm a nerd. And like, they're like, here's what really happened. And they give the statistics. And like, I don't remember the download, but they were pulling like terabytes a second or something when the Fortnite Season 5 came out.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was insane. So like,
yeah, it was like multiple. It was like 1.8 terabytes a second.
Yeah. These guys,
yeah, it was yeah, that's ridiculous.
Epic has employees that know what they're doing. But the problem is something on this scale for a game like this has never really been done before. And you can say World of Warcraft and stuff is like an MMO with tons of server stuff and stuff, but that's completely different. That's not like people jumping in and out of servers and doing queuing and stuff. Like, that's one server. Well, it's not one server, but it's what do you call your servers? Your realms? Are they realms?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. So whatever. That's a whole different thing. It's similar in a way, but still completely different. So like, everything that they're doing is almost new. And so you're trying to use techniques and tricks that you learned in the past on this new stuff. And you're like, that didn't cut it. Okay.
And it's especially got to be more complicated doing like the comparison of doing something like an MMO versus something like an FPS where the latency is much more important, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, Fortnite, you have 50 MS delay in Fortnite, and it's like, you have 200 MS delay in World of Warcraft versus in Fortnite, and that's just like miles apart. Warcraft, you're like, oh no, my fireball looked like it left my hands a little too late.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's completely, completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's nice to see them coming out and saying, hey, we had this issue. This is what we tried. It didn't work. This is how we're going to fix it. And we'll see how it goes next time. The other thing is you can't test this. There's no way to test this amount of load without costing a fortune and having all these people doing it. So like, it's just, it's almost impossible to also test these things until they go live. And so thank you all beta testers out there. There's a reason the game's kind of free. I mean,
it like, is early access technically.
It's making tons of money, but there's going to be issues, and it's only going to help gaming in the long run, because these things will all go back to their engine and make it better. And it's amazing.
I just got to give props. I know we do it. We suck their dick every week. Man, I like Epic. I don't know. Like they really feel like a company that deserves everything that's coming their way right now, which is cool.
They keep trying and they keep improving, and it's great. Sadly, though, there is one company that didn't try.
Well, maybe they tried.
I wouldn't say didn't
maybe
try.
Maybe they tried too hard.
I'd say they failed.
I do feel like, they kind of did though. And that is, I don't even, what's the company's name? It's like Zviant.
I'm going to call it Xander.
Either way.
It
sounds made up.
The people who made The Culling. And they just recently, so The Culling, for those who don't know, is at one point in time, the most popular battle royale game in the world. This is pre-PUBG. This is kind of funny. Pre-PUBG, post-H1Z1. It had a very brief moment as the most popular battle royale game in the world. It was kind of based around hand-to-hand melee combat, you know, stuff like that. And somewhere along the line, that game went a little haywire, and they recently announced The Culling 2. People were, you know, excited about it a little bit because people remember that nostalgic Culling 1 feeling they had. And a week later, they've decided to pull the game off the shelves. They've decided to refund everyone their money. The game had single-digit player counts.
That's
the Battle Royale game
so
had single-digit player
it
counts.
It was easy to win.
Yeah, very easy to win. And the weirdest part, the strangest, craziest thing part is their new game plan is to go back to The Culling 1, bring it all the way back to the gameplay it had day one, all the day one patches, when people liked the game and before they started changing it. They were doing weekly updates too, which is really crazy. They were an example of doing too much content way too quick. And that's their new game plan.
That sounds like desperate.
Trying too hard.
Like, oh man, no one likes my new game. So I'm just going to go back and completely redo the first one 100%. Like that's desperate.
Well, no, they're going back to the first one, making it free to play. And they're not redoing the first one. They're like going back to that.
Yeah, just re-putting it out, right? Is it still playable like right now? Like as The Culling 2 was out, was The Culling 1 still?
I think they...
Yeah.
Oh, they're basically reinstating their efforts purely into The Culling 1 essentially.
Mm-hmm. I want to... Yes. When I initially read the story of like The Culling 2 is out and it's like, oh, we have like 800 players online or something. Like it was low. And then like I heard in 24 hours there was only 16 players left. I thought that was the Battle Royale. I thought everyone was in one server, like all 7,000 players. And then it was down to like 17 players. And like they were like, oh shit, that happened way too fast. I thought it was like a one-time Battle Royale game. And I'm like, that'd be amazing. But no, it's not that. But someone make that.
That would be really fun, honestly. Like a Battle Royale game that's only up once a day.
Yeah.
You can only get in, you can only play like so many times a day. I think that would actually be a really cool, that's a good idea for a game, Jakku. But also, I don't know how you're going to fit 500,000 people on one fucking server.
World of Warcraft servers.
World of Warcraft does it, yeah.
Yeah, that's my idea. Or I post
just make a World of Warcraft custom game.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But this game, have you guys played the original one?
Man, I haven't even heard of The Culling until today.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, there could be an oversaturation of... I mean, there is. There's 100%
oversaturation
of Battle Royale games. You'd be happy to hear that Halo
Is there really, though? Is there really an oversaturation of Battle Royale
honestly,
games?
I feel like, yeah, like, yeah.
I mean,
wow. Okay. I mean, what? There's
we have a podcast meme of Grand Pooh Bear going, is.
Well, that's because I love them. I know. They're fun.
There was three announced specifically during the PC gaming showcase of E3, like three new ones alone out of 40-ish games.
How many deathmatch games get announced every year? Like, what? Like, nobody. That's my thing. Like, nobody bats an eye when a game has deathmatch in it.
I mean, how many deathmatch games are coming out and being, like, massively successful at this point, though?
I also think the deathmatch.
Call of Duty is still massively successful, and I mean, but like it's. I just don't get why it's like it's okay for a game to have. You know what I mean? Like it's not oversaturation of deathmatch, but it's oversaturation of battle royale.
Deathmatch also has a lot more of, because battle royale is this new phenomena where it's almost like the battle royale genre is kind of different than actually just playing like a deathmatch game. A game with deathmatch isn't necessarily like people think of it as a deathmatch game. It's like a shooter, and that's just the way that you traditionally play shooters in deathmatch mode, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to agree with X-Water. I think like when I think of deathmatch, I don't think of games like Battlefield for some reason. Like it doesn't necessarily come to my mind, especially the Star Wars ones. Like, I'm like, oh, that's just a Star Wars game. And I get it. It is 100% deathmatch.
Yeah.
100%. It really is. But I don't think of it like that. But I guess when I see Battle Royale games, what I always think of is early access.
Okay. And that's fair.
And that's what
that's
I think it is.
Completely
it's
fair.
An oversaturation of early access Battle Royale games where everyone's like, I got to get on this gravy train. Oh, that's a good battle royale game called Gravy Train. And all right, I digress. So basically, they're like, I got to get on this and I got to go and make an awesome game where I pop 100 people in a server and help them kill each other and I'll make millions of dollars.
That's fair. And I think the battle royale genre has already seen more losers than like any other genre, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I feel like you've seen a ton of games already just come and go in the genre really quick because maybe of that thought. I don't think that's necessarily fair. I think the ones that have been pretty successful have also been really effing fun. But yeah. I will say the early access is that's a fair label to put on it. And we haven't seen like a triple A. We've seen lots of triple A deathmatch where we haven't seen any triple A battle royale games yet. We really haven't. I mean, Epic is the closest thing you got to a triple A studio before Fortnite. I think now you could definitely call them a triple A studio. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think they're not hurting for money. They're definitely not an indie studio by any means anymore or anything close to it. But, you know, like we haven't seen that. Having EA get in there with Battlefield and, you know,
Activision with Call of Duty and
yeah. Infinity Ward or whatever, whoever's making that one this year. But like it's going to be interesting to see what that does to the genre.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying like it has the staying power of deathmatch. I was just saying like, I don't get the gamer complaint of like extra game modes.
Oh yeah,
games,
absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I think there's too many games though that are coming out with just that are only battle royale, and that's kind of where it's coming. And those are usually just the early access games.
But I even say like, if you look at Fortnite, and this might be something, this might be the problem with all the new games that are coming out and just being battle royale. Like, even Fortnite was not a battle royale game. Mm-hmm. It was a game that people did enjoy before that, but people enjoyed way more with the battle royale mode.
Yeah.
And I would even say, like, PUBG, it's based off Arma, which Arma is a good game that has had battle royale modes for a long time that people also enjoyed. You know what I mean? Like, but Arma has a ton of different, like, weird, wonky game modes on top of that, mm-hmm. like, a ton of different mods. So I think maybe that might be the problem, is that there's an oversaturation of bad games trying to pass off on the battle royale fad only.
I think that's a good way to put it, honestly.
Yeah, like, I think Battlefield's going to be awesome in battle royale. I think people are going to freak out over it, honestly. Yeah. I think it's going to be really, really great.
Has a lot of potential for sure.
And like, COD, too.
Yeah, like, these games that people treasure definitely have the potential to be, like, to have these awesome battle royale modes. But that's the thing, it's battle royale modes, and they're not games that are going like, we're coming in to ride off the success of Fortnite and PUBG and Arma, you know, like, they're just trying to include this popular mode of playing in their game. And I think that's the same thing with like why deathmatch isn't necessarily a worn out genre, because a deathmatch, like you take Counter-Strike and you compare it to Team Fortress 2 and you compare it to Call of Duty. And those three games in and of themselves, while being the same, you know, either team deathmatch or deathmatch like type of game, are so wildly different from each other and offer like immensely like unique experiences that it has enough variance, right?
Yeah, but I mean, Realm Royale to Fortnite to PUBG are all wildly different games that have wildly different
experiences. Yeah, and I think that's why those three are like the standout examples of the more successful ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you take, I forget what it was called, but there was like one announced at that PC game, like PC show at E3. And it was like the only thing it was doing different than PUBG, like it was essentially trying to be the same experience as PUBG, but with more people. And that was essentially their pitch. And I don't see it pulling through, you know?
They should.
Yo, if it had 500,000 people, that'd be good.
I was going to say, I think they were aiming 1,000 from what I heard.
1,000 would be okay. 1,000 is impressive. It's like 150. I'd be like, yeah, whatever. But 1,000, that would actually kind of be pretty cool.
Be pretty
you
impressive.
Can drop like 100 bombs.
As technology,
winning internet. A game with 1,000 people would be wild.
Yeah,
yeah,
that'd be scary. Like,
yeah,
you're top 200. You're like, oh my god, why is this? Like, I'm scared. That map would have to be massive.
Yeah, it would. See, those would be like hour and a half long games too.
Right.
Yeah.
You said it too. Like,
that'd be fun.
The games have to be popular. And that's more true for Battle Royale games because if you're dropping with 20 people because the game sucks, that's not fun. You need to drop with.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work. So these games need to have some sort of staying power.
Mm-hmm.
They need a minimum 100 concurrent players at all times.
And, sorry, calling.
So, like, yeah, if you have Fortnite, which is getting updated each week with something new, essentially, like, that's going to have you coming back. But if you have something that's, like, updated once a month or every 2 months or something, it's not going to work very well.
Yeah, or starts to take 5 to 10 minutes to get in a game, especially when your experience can be, you know, 5 seconds.
Yeah.
That makes a huge difference, honestly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. Battle Royale, we talk about it a lot. Yeah. It's here to stay. For how long, we'll see. But I imagine for a long time, it's going to be something we'll be talking about. And like, there will be times where like, man, this game would be really great as a Battle Royale.
I mean,
I think Battle Royale has a broader appeal than, say, the MMO genre, which is another
point,
genre where I feel like a lot of games popped up all of a sudden. You know what I mean?
I honestly feel like the best way to kind of compare it is that, like, I feel like the Battle Royale is the modern MOBA. Like, every studio is trying to put one out. Everyone's trying to make this brand new, cool indie MOBA that has whatever, like, cool new features that they want to be like, hey, look, we're cutting edge. We made it so you can control two units and a hero, you know, like
look at this gravy physics.
It's the same thing. People are trying to ride the coattails of the success of Fortnite and PUBG, the same way people tried to ride the success of League of Legends, Heroes of New Earth, and Dota 2, even though Heroes of New Earth kind of flopped pretty quick. But I give it credit because it was there first.
It had its moment. It had its moment.
I feel like it was like the Arma of that genre.
All right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's going to be interesting. I don't know what's coming next. Obviously, if I did, we'd make it so we could, you know, be in front of everyone else. But, you know, that doesn't always work.
I don't know. I'm really in on 1,000 players and one server killing each other, though.
See, here's the best idea for the next Battle Royale. Dog walking Battle Royale. Except instead of Battle Royale, you don't battle. You just have your dogs play with each other in a big dog park with 100 unique people.
What if you...
I really want...
Yeah.
That sounds like a Nintendo version of Battle Royale, and I really, really want... I really want to see whatever Nintendo's Battle Royale.
Nintendo's
like
gonna take the
with.
Wildest twist on the concept of 100 people battling it out in a server. Yeah,
I think the problem ultimately with Nintendo Battle Royale is that, like, I have zero faith in them ever doing anything right online. Let alone
I got it.
Yeah, that's so true.
100 people
it's
in the server.
Nintendo Rock Paper Scissors Battle Royale. 100 people, rock paper scissors, down to the final two.
I mean,
that doesn't.
That's just a rock, paper,
that's
scissors.
That's just rock, paper, scissors 18 or so times if
but
you win consecutively.
Your me drops down from the sky.
Oh, okay. Does he thank the bus driver as he drops? It's a bus, right?
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Okay. I don't know about
what
this
about some sort of
suggestion
space
here.
Game that has you exploring planets as a battle royale game. And we could call
that sounds,
it...
That sounds like it could be successful as a non-battle royale.
We could call it...
You know?
Man's Sky.
like, but with your friends,
oh,
right?
Oh, so no man. Wait. Yeah.
Some
not
man?
Some, yeah.
Sky?
Okay, that was a decent segue. But anyway, that is what we're going to talk about next. The No Man's Sky is coming out with the much anticipated free update to and what do I want to say? I want to say like to make the game be the game that we all thought we were actually buying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This week's hot take.
Hot take round two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this, so No Man's Sky multiplayer update, is this enough to make you play No Man's Sky finally? Are you kind of excited to play it again?
I'm going to pitch it as a Friends Friday game, honestly.
I'm going to play it as a Friend Friday game. I would love it. Yeah, I'm excited.
The concept of the game was sick from day one. Yeah. And the fact that like they couldn't deliver on the promises they wanted, like, on release suck, but it looked like anytime I see news about No Man's Sky in the last whatever year, 2 years it's been out, have been them actively working to get it up to that point that they wanted it to be in release. And so even though it did flop and disappoint, I think there's no reason not to go back to it if it was something you were interested in, right?
Yeah, it was for the first hour, 2 hours, it was a fun game. Finding your ship, repairing it, exploring another planet. It was cool.
Sounds like Pikmin.
Yeah, it was Pikmin without the little dudes. Without the Pikmin. And that's that actually perfectly describes it. It was, because that's everything we wanted, except it didn't have the Pikmin. It's like a Pikmin game without Pikmin. You're like, I can't have that. It was fun. It was fun for the first few hours, but the problem is the story wasn't engaging. It was buggy. It didn't have online capabilities. No one expected to run into anyone because of how vast it was supposed to be, but they alluded to it. And then it turns out they just lied to us about it. And it's like, that's not cool. So it put a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth.
Yeah.
I had fun with it though for the first few hours. I think I ultimately played 20 hours and then the game bugged on me and I didn't get to do the story. That's neither here nor there. But this new update, and they have been doing updates in the past that have been kind of neat, and I've checked them out a little bit here and there. But this is it. This is what the game should have been at when it was initially mm-hmm. released. And I think they should have taken a page from Epic's book of saying, yo, guys, we fucked up. Here's how we fucked up and here's how we're going to make it better. And they kind of did. They kind of said, hey, we got a lot of updates planned. We're not, this is not a dead game. And this might be a really cool story to see. I'm honestly really hoping that this becomes successful and that they turn the ship around. No pun intended, actually, for once. Like, I really hope that they are able to turn this around and show off the game they envisioned when they first talked about it and we have a good experience. Like, this could be something huge.
Man, mm-hmm. I agree. I know everyone was super, like, cheesed off with them, like, from day one with all of the essentially failed promises. But I've always kind of been in their corner and for no mm-hmm. good reason, really. But I just always felt like, you know what? They're trying, guys. They're trying, I swear. And they have been. And I like seeing that it's been going further. I want to like hear from you guys after you play it, because I'll be gone by then. And I'll be honest, I don't want to spend $60 on this game I'm probably going to play for 4 hours.
That's that's mm-hmm. definitely the thing I really hope we see next week. And
is it still $60?
It's still $60. I checked the Steam store as of today. I'm hoping Tuesday when this launches that they knock the price down. 40 at most, 30 to 20. 20 to 30 would be the sweet spot. And I understand they spent a lot of time getting this to where it's at and how it should be. But at this point, it's a much older game. You've already taken my money. If you had bought Bitcoin with it initially, you'd have a lot more money. So you should have at least just done that. But no, like, it needs to be lower. I think that would be the way to be like, hey, we're sorry. Get your friends in here though for $20 and you will have a blast. And that would really let them, like, that would show them that they're standing behind their game by saying, hey, we think you're going to buy this and we think we're going to get more people buying it if we lower it.
Yeah. So, lowering it, other, like, they're doing all, everything right on the development front, I feel like, right now, but they definitely need to drop it from 60 to like peak interest. If it was down to 40, I think would be fine.
Yeah, I think 40 would be fine. It appears to have crossplay, which is really interesting because it is on Xbox, PS4, and PC. What that means is, I don't know if it's going to be PC and console or all consoles. Who knows? But four-player co-op seems to be what the co-op is for. And I don't know if we're able to run into other teams. That'd be awesome. I think that'd be cool.
That's the one thing. Like, that would be really awesome if you could run into other teams. I am guessing not.
Yeah, maybe not yet, at least.
But, man, that would be cool. That would really alter. Because, like, I think that, to me, was, like, the coolest part of No Man's Sky. It wasn't that, because, like, they always thought, like, oh, no two players will ever reach the same planets. Well, like, I knew 100% that that would happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, 100%
it happened day one on Twitch.
Like, yeah, like, 1,000%, like, two people would run into each other. Like, this is video games. Like, if it can happen, it's going to happen in a video game. People will try to make it happen. They'll do everything they can to make that happen. And I think the allure of just, like, accidentally, for some reason, running into someone and getting into a space fight with them sounds fucking awesome.
It really does.
And I'd really love to do that.
Yeah. I hope
someone out there is going to be like, play EVE Online then. And I'm like, no.
Oh, man. EVE Online. I have a friend. You guys know him. DJ. He's been playing that game for years. And he always tries to get me in on that. And I'm like, listen, man, it's just a spreadsheet simulator. Like, it's all just spreadsheets at the end of the day. I don't need that. But no, like, I hope we see, like, if we don't have, you know, battles with other teams right now, I'm hopeful that they're actually going to add some additional stuff later on if this goes well. Like, they've already released a lot of cool stuff, and I doubt this is the end of it. And I really hope we see a bit more, especially if it's successful. I think they deserve for it to be successful. They had some bad, you know, they had a bad start. That's fine. We can look past that. Give us the game we wanted. So far, the trailer looks amazing. I'm actually really excited for it. And I think last time when they had an update, we talked about it on the podcast, and we were kind of like, maybe I'll check it out. So this has kind of been a reoccurring joke on the podcast too, I think. I think this has been mentioned a few times.
Yeah, a couple of times for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, props to, I mean, I know we're giving a lot of, we're serving a lot of developer dick here tonight, but, like, total props to the No Man's Sky team for doing something they honestly didn't have to do. They could have taken the money and run. They could have done this exact thing, but made it No Man's Sky 2.
Yeah.
And some people would have bought it, but they didn't. They didn't do that. They, you know, just hunkered down and made the game that everyone thought they were getting.
Yeah.
And that was the right thing to do, kind of, because they I don't want to say they misled people, but they didn't steer people the right way after people misled themselves, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
We didn't mention it, but I see something that I think X-Water would definitely enjoy. Underwater bases.
That actually sounds pretty baller.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it has the base building and everything now. I bet it's going
to
be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to try this. I think we got to see who else has this game for Friends Friday. But I'm down for playing it next week. I'm excited for that. So I guess the hot take on this, like, should you like this? Is this fun? Is this good? And, like, yeah, like, a bad game. Let's take that old quote from Miyamoto.
I don't think No Man's Sky was a bad game. I think it was a disappointing game.
I think the problem is that they released it as, this is the game, this is a full game, we're done. Well, maybe they didn't say they're done, but they said, here's the full game, this is our vision. And there was no communication that it wasn't their vision. It was a lie.
Yeah.
If
No Man's Sky would have been a $20 non-hyped game, it would have been one of those, like, super darling indie games that everyone loved and bought. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it was an overhyped. It was super hyped, you know? Yep. And, I mean, I don't know. Props. I just mad props to them.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. I think that's going to be it for this week in topics. But why don't we move on over to the side questions?
The side questions.
Yes.
Oh, yes. The side questions.
All right. This first question comes from Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
I know you guys mostly play 2D Mario and 2D games in general, but I'm curious, what is your favorite 3D Mario game and why? Love you guys and thanks for an amazing product. Bonnie.
Who goes first?
Either one of you.
I'll go. Mario 64 is probably, I mean, I think we'll probably all answer that. But Mario 64, to this day, is still one of the best 3D platforming games. It has incredible level design. It has a super difficult, it's as difficult or as undifficult as you want to make it. And it's kind of chock full of like little secrets and tidbits. And it's also just broken enough where anybody can kind of break it. And I don't know, man. Mario 64 is, Mario 64 is one of the rare games from that era that I think holds up just fine today.
Yeah. I
wasn't made by Rare. It was made by Nintendo, you goof.
Fucking idiot.
You know it.
Oh, my God. Why is this guy even on the podcast? I think you're right. Like, I think, obviously, Odyssey right now is a great game, and we all see it, and it's amazing. And it's
super fun.
Yeah. But, like, for me and you and probably Xwater, but going back to Mario 64, like, that was our first introduction to a fully 3D world like that. The colors were vibrant. When you remember the game, you're like, this was huge. This was big. And you're right. Finding the small little secrets here and there was awesome. And there wasn't a lot, but there was enough. I think that's actually against Odyssey, where it has so many secrets. Like, I can't remember all of them, or I can't, like, it's just so many secrets to even, like, think about. So Mario 64 for sure.
See, for me, I'm going to say Odyssey. I think Odyssey's my favorite. I felt like Odyssey was the only game since Mario 64, to a degree. I mean, I'm sure there's other like instances, but that was able to like make me feel that same wonder that I felt with Mario 64. Like, I remember like staying up till like 5 a.m. the first night I got Odyssey, and not even playing the game, just jumping around in Donk City and having like the best time. And the controls were so well done. The level design was, in my opinion, the best of any of the 3D Mario games, which makes sense. I mean, with progression comes experience, and with experience comes a more refined product, and especially after making them for 20 years. Of course, I'm talking like the 3D games for 20 years. But in all of that and together, I feel like there was so many ways to achieve every single task you had to do in Odyssey that like, that's what made it so amazing for me. Like, you could be like, I see that moon over there, and I see how like it's designed to be obtained by someone who's 7 years old and like, you know, hasn't played video games for 23 years at this point, and like doesn't have that under their belt. But me, no, I'm gonna do it my way. I'm gonna do it this cool, dumb, like little trick to get it. I'm going to make a stack of Goombas so big that it's going to be able to jump out of them and do a hat dive and land on that moon. And like stuff like that just kind of blew me away. And being able to like essentially relive the same feeling that Mario 64 gave me, but as an adult. I didn't think another game would ever do that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think it's, say, in 10 years or so for the next 3D Mario game in that area, comparing it to Odyssey and comparing it to Mario 64, we might go back and be like, man, Odyssey was amazing. And like Mario 64 was great, but we might change our mind. Maybe. I don't know. But you're right. Like, Odyssey is really cool. And I do like that it's built for anyone to play in any style they want. And you said it best, like, you can look far down there and see a star you can get. Unfortunately, Mario 64 was on the Nintendo 64, and the draw distance was one foot in front of your face.
Yeah.
So you couldn't see a star unless you were touching it.
But you had the clever hint names of the like when you ended the world, like Baba Battlefield Big Boss Battle.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You gotta find that big boss.
Have you guys seen the Mario 64 Never Ending that doesn't kick you out of the
levels? Yeah, I was watching G's do speedruns of that. So cool, man. So good.
Yeah, it's so cool. Yeah, that's like ROM hacksters. ROM hacksters.
Yeah, they really are. All right.
All right, cool. Next question.
Let's see here. And this one comes from Dan.
Side quest complete.
Yeah, congratulations on your 1 year anniversary. I've been listening to each one. It's been a real treat.
Hey, thanks, Dan.
Also, congratulations to Pooh on the baby announcement.
Hey, thanks,
Dan. You think dealing with knocking Mitch's NES, that was rough. Get ready for some long yet rewarding nights. All right. To the real question, though. What has been the best and worst part of doing a podcast? Two for X-Water and consistently streaming.
The only real bad part is like when it's Thursday night and like I get tonight's a good example. I was like five levels away from finishing Captain Toad on stream and I'm like, sorry guys, gotta bail.
Ha.
Yeah, that part sucks. And just like, yeah, if you don't want to do anything, like the time commitment takes, you know, like finding a time for three of us to meet up every week is like, this is like the only time it really works, it seems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all have a ton of things going on besides our streams too. And so yeah, the worst part is obviously that it takes time and money.
Yeah.
But actually, this is a good time to announce that we actually just announced our Patreon. We figured after a year,
this is a real thing.
We now have a Patreon. Yeah, we're a real podcast now that asks money from our listeners. Definitely check that out. We'll have the link in the description right now. But all the money is basically going to go to the people who work on the podcast that aren't us, the editors and the mixers and the great, amazing, social media girls. So, definitely check that out. The Patreon, it's patreon.com/thewarpworld.
The Warp World.
But those would be the worst things.
Yeah, we kind of talked about a lot of the best things last week.
Yeah, the best.
Yes.
But it's both the worst and the best. I get to hang out with you guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, like the time commitment, sure, but it's nice to take a break from all that stuff and just talk for an hour or two. And like we start at 8 p.m. Central, and we don't start recording until about 8:30, and so like and then we don't end till about 10. So it's about a 2-hour commitment a week. And it's nice to be able to talk, figure out where everybody's at on things, and just, you know, hang out. You don't get to do that a lot anymore.
Well, yeah. And right. I guess for historians, the only real downside is the fact that, unlike this one, it takes like a good chunk of like pre-prep. So like Grant Keys and I will dive into like interviews and articles for like 3 or 4 hours before every episode, and like,
how dare you say this doesn't take any prep? I will have you know, I took a nap at 6:30 to 7:30.
Just to be freshened up for this recording.
I slept for a good hour.
That's what I love about it, though. Yeah,
yeah, no,
that's what I love about it is that this. I love the off the cuffness of this.
Yeah,
one.
Same.
Yeah,
you know,
it's the rough cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. But yeah, shout outs to X-Water and Grant Keys on just the amount of work that they put into on historians. It's like they're doing a book report a week.
That's what it is. Honestly, it's great. It's like you have homework that you have to do. And you know, when you have to do homework, it sucks. But if it's on a topic you like, you're like, okay, that wasn't so bad. And I actually kind of like it. Like, it's something I would have never done on my own. But since I have a reason to do the research, like I feel very fulfilled every time. But yeah, it's like that. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got two more questions.
All right.
Let's see. What one do I want to go with first?
Number two.
Here. Let's go with our good old friend Manic T.
Yeah.
All right, Manic.
Hello, Warp Worlders, app builders, and world record holders.
I was going to say, they were talking to me in that last one, but Chuck,
I got
here.
One of those. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I wonder. Are there any hobbies that you've always wanted to try, but you haven't gotten around due to time, money, courage? I've always wanted to try snowboarding. Not only does it sound thrilling, but scary, but I also don't have anyone near me who lives near me interested enough to come with. Manic T. I've always wanted to snowboard as well, actually. And I know Grand Pooh Bear is like an expert in it, so he could totally teach me.
I mean, I could teach
honestly,
you. You're gonna,
Well, so I will start just because I started skating about 2 months ago, give or take. Like electric skateboarding. So it's not, I'm not, you know, what's the word? Shredding the streets, as you kids would say. I'm not kick flipping my way to death. But I've been.
Can you turn on it?
Yeah,
right?
I can turn.
Then you got 90% of snowboarding.
I honestly, like, the first week or so, I was very nervous. I had a small fall, which was great because I got back up and I was okay. But I've been riding to work every day this week. I rode on the skateboard from home to work. It's about a 6-mile commute. It's faster than the car, and it's fun. It's actually raining tomorrow. So like, I'm so sad that I have to drive, and I love driving, but like,
yeah,
so
you have a sweet car.
Yeah. But like, I generally enjoy skateboarding, and I'm going to hate the winters when I have to put that away. So like, that was something I always wanted to try and always do. And like, electric skateboarding made it easy to do. And I've learned a lot, and I think my balance is better. So I'm not too scared about snowboarding. So I'd love to try snowboarding next.
We'll do it. All right. We'll do it soon. We'll plan one of these like weird trips we do.
Perfect.
We'll make one of them to Lake Tahoe.
Ooh, nice.
We'll go snowboard. We'll go. I'll show you exactly where I got hit. Oh. Actually, I'll take you on the exact slope I got hit.
All right.
I've done it like twice since then. So it's not like a PTSD thing.
Gotcha.
X-Water, what about you?
Oh man, it's hard to say. Like I've done, like I got into skateboarding and rollerblading as a kid, and I do those a lot. But I feel like one of the things that I never really got into too much was like hockey. Mm-hmm. And as weird as it sounds, as a Canadian,
it's not weird. Yeah, it's not weird.
And you're a Canadian near Detroit, which is like
you have to play hockey.
The most hockey city in America. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and I have a bunch of friends who like go to hockey nights, but I don't know. I feel like at this point, a little too far gone and like just a little too busy, plus with other hobbies and commitments and stream and everything, that like I already have like nights a week dedicated to tasks. I will say a new hobby I have started that's been something I never thought I would get into, bouldering or rock climbing.
Yeah, I was going to start that too.
That's, dude, it's so fun. It's amazing. Yeah. Like, it's motivating me to get like stronger again because I've been a little lazy these last few months, just like really grinding stream and everything. And like, I really want to get stronger so I can do these walls better and everything. And I don't know, something feels so cool about scaling a wall that's like angled against you. So like you're climbing and kind of like hanging on the wall, but you're still going up and trying to find like the coolest path and like the way to do it and how to place your feet. And it's like both a tactical sport and a strength sport.
Yeah.
So it's like a nice combination and it's been really fun to get into.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What about you, Pooh?
Well, I've rock climbed and I've done the boulders and I've done the snowboarding. I was really lucky to spend 10 years in the mountains and you get to do all that cool shit. This sounds weird and I talked about it before when someone asked what job I'd like to try, but I've really always wanted to try stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just too scared to fucking
do it.
What's
the legs, right?
Plus you got to stand up. Exactly. Yeah, I have just like a massive, I don't know what it is, but like I'm it's something I'm really weirdly scared shitless of doing.
I'm announcing it here.
And if I did it, I don't think I'd want anyone, like I don't think I'd want anyone I know to like come to it.
Nope, too bad. Mario Masters Coliseum is going to have stand-up night.
No. Anyway, but yeah, that is like the one weird thing I would like to try. I'm pretty lucky in that I was a bit of a daredevil growing up and never really like the physical hobbies. I guess I did all the ones I really wanted to get into. Mm-hmm. Now I'm scared to do them now in my old age. So I think that's the main thing.
Old age and kid on the way. Like,
yeah, and the kid on the way.
But yeah, stand-up's always been something I've thought about doing as well, but I don't think, like, like, you probably put a lot more thought into it. Like, I guess I've done speeches in front of a lot of people. Thousands, I guess, even. Which is kind of, like, you know what? I kill it on stage. So, so you know what? I mean, honestly, Pooh, so do you. When you're playing video games, like, at all the GDQs.
Okay,
like,
yeah, but I have the game to fall back on. You
do,
know?
But, I like, know. I think you could do it. We should.
I don't think I got it. I don't even think like it's worth it though. Like I feel like I could just do my stupid set on Twitch every day and be better off. You know what I mean? Like, I know that sounds weird. But.
I got it. We're gonna do that one trip soon. I'm not gonna say where, just because I don't know if it's out there yet. But with the Dream Team and I say what we do is we wear disguises and we go to a nightclub open mic night. And we both do a stand-up routine as a different character. No one will know it's us.
Maybe.
It'll be good. All right. Final question comes from our good friend Decatur. Long-time listener, not one to usually go on side quests, but it's always been a question I had. Did playing video games influence your career decisions or aspirations? If, for example, when I was young, I learned in Halo 2 about people who would boost via network manipulation, which was intriguing. And then when I was a little bit older, I got heavily involved in 360 modifications, running unsigned code, live memory modifications, or game save changes. All that gave me a passion to learn even what I was otherwise unmotivated in classroom and led me to reverse engineering, information security, and network engineering outside of video games. That's pretty much me. Without not Halo 2 to get me involved, but like that stuff got me involved in network stuff and just computer security and stuff as well. I got to say that I'm going to answer for Pooh and X-Water because them playing video games is their career. So obviously.
Yeah, at this point, yeah. But even with, I just went into computer science because it was like, it felt like a logical choice based on what I was into. Like I did a lot of like exploring with like exploiting and manipulating consoles and everything like that when I was younger. So kind of a little bit of the motivation definitely came from there. But also like I just wanted to like go to school for a job that made decent money and had a comfortable living. And it was like, oh, computer science works for that and I'm pretty good at it. So why not? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I always, like, as a kid, I was really, like, even as, like, about 10 years old, I was like, I want to be a sportscaster. And that was, like, and I rode that out until I was 21 years old, and then I changed my mind. I don't know. I never really, like, that was just, I weirdly had a singular focus as a kid for that. I never really had that, that epiphany, I guess, where I was like playing a game and like, this is cool. Cause like, I was always just like, that's what I want to be. That's what I'm going to be. That's what I'm going to do until the really hard, painful day where I realized like, this is not what I want to do. I want to just snowboard more.
Yeah.
And then, honestly, I got lucky, getting to fall into this great career.
Yeah.
I feel like all Twitch streamers honestly kind of got lucky that we live in this magical time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now where this is even a possibility. People will pay for this as entertainment, you know, so.
Speaking of paying for entertainment, Patreon for the Warworld podcast.
Pumping it.
That's how you do it, right?
Pumping it.
Thank you for the questions, guys. As always, great. And I want to give a special shout out to everyone that emailed me for our last week as well for just the job stuff. It's not jobs, but kind of the call for help. Like, hey, we're looking for coders, designers, and stuff. I received a dozen or more emails from a bunch of you guys, and it was really cool to see like all of your guys' careers and how you wanted help. And I haven't replied to anyone yet because I'm gonna go through them all one by one this weekend and kind of like figure out who might fit for certain things, and hopefully you hear back from me. But that was really cool to get a lot of those emails.
And if our Patreon goes big enough, maybe it will turn into a job.
You never know.
Don't forget to, of course, ring the bell, subscribe, smash that like button, all that good stuff.
Oh yeah, all that stuff. We'll see you guys next week, episode 54.
In the books.
Yeah.
Season 53
is in the books. I gotcha.
2, yeah.
I was confused.
Next week's 54. Episode 53 in the books. Yeah, I guess I didn't finish it like that. I'm sorry. I screwed up.
Okay. All good.
Episode 53 in the books.
Goodbye, everyone.
See you next week.
Next time.